And good morning, everyone, and thank you for joining the Public Health Data Systems Task Force. I'm Mike Berry with ONC and serve as the designated federal officer of the HITACT and this task force. All task force meetings are open to the public, and your feedback is always welcomed, either in the Zoom chat or during the public comment period that is scheduled at about 11:50 Eastern Time this morning. We have a very large task force that consists of HITACT members, federal representatives of the HITACT, and we invited several other subject matter experts to participate. And so we welcome all of you and sincerely appreciate everyone offering their time and input for this important work. I'd like to begin roll call of our task force members. So when I call your name, please indicate that you are here. And I'll start with our co-chairs. Jillian Haney.
Here.
Arian Malik. I don't think Arian has joined, but we're expecting him, of course. Rochelle Bolton.
Here.
Hans Wittenbeck. I think Hans will be joining us a little bit later. Heather Cook Sinclair. Aaron Holt Coyne. Charles
Here.
Cross.
Thank Present.
You. B. Eichner.
Present. Good morning.
Joe Gibson. Raj Kibarti. Jim Jurgis.
Here.
John Kansky.
Good morning.
Bryant Thomas Karras is not able to be with us today, but should be here next week. Stephen Lane.
Good morning.
Jennifer Layden.
Here.
Leslie Leonard.
Good morning.
Hung Lu. Mark Marostica.
Good morning.
Aaron Meary. Alex Muggy.
Good morning.
Stephen Murphy.
Good morning.
Elia Oliveira. Jamie Pena.
Here, good morning.
Abby Sears. Vivian Singletary.
Here, good morning.
Phil Sutherland.
Good morning.
And Cheryl Turney.
I'm here, thank you.
Thank you, everyone. And before I turn the meeting over to our co-chairs, we have two special guests with us today to provide opening remarks. Please join me in welcoming Avinash Shambag, the Executive Director of ONC's Office of Technology, and Dan Jernigan, who is the Deputy Director for Public Health Science and Surveillance at CDC. And I'll turn it over to Avinash.
Thank you, Mike. Good morning, everyone. Hopefully you all can hear me well.
Yes.
We got
Great. You. Thank you, Mike. Thanks for that audio check. First of all, again, let me add to what Mike mentioned. Welcome you both, all of you, to this task force. And also thank you, the HITACT members, the public SMEs, and our federal colleagues for volunteering for this task force. This is a very important activity, and we really appreciate the service that you are doing to this nation by really lending your expertise in this very important activity. We sincerely hope that the work that you will do will build off from the previous HITACT activity that was done and really will support the tremendous expansion, the tremendous modernization activity that CDC is embarking on. And at this point, again, I will be remiss if I don't personally thank our co-chairs, Jillian Haney and Arian Malik, for agreeing to be co-chairs of this task force. I also wanted to thank our CDC colleagues for not only being great partners with ONC, but also lending their support to this task force activities along with our ONC staff. So again, we appreciate the work that this team will be doing. We look forward to hearing from you all. And we think, it's such an important activity, and we are looking forward to hearing and getting output from this task force that will have significant impact to this to the modernization of public health data systems in the country. So again, thank you very much. Look forward to your work. I looked at the task that you all had in that was put in your charge. It's a lot of activity in a very short period of time. So I wanted to again thank you and also ensure that as you all work through your activities, please do not hesitate to ask for any support from ONC team that we can provide to make sure that you are able to do your work. So thank you again. And with that, I'm going to turn over to my colleague, Dr. Dan Jernigan, the Deputy Director for Public Health Science and Surveillance at CDC, to provide some opening remarks. Dan?
Great, Avinash. Thanks a lot. Thanks for reconstituting and bringing this group back together. I think, as many of you know, just in the last weeks, our director at CDC has demonstrated her commitment to public health data as a core capability. We've known that there were a lot of issues that were revealed at the beginning of the COVID response. We've had discussions with this group and with others over the last year as a part of our executive order response, and then also in standing up the data modernization initiative to help really address those issues. At this time, because it is such an important thing for the director, the work you're doing, I think, is a component of a really critical component of getting us to better, faster data for decision making at all levels of public health. And so the work that you will be doing, I think, is a part of a set of CDC and ONC identified priorities that we're doing jointly. Really appreciate the collaborative work that we've been doing with ONC, and think that that effort is really going to be an absolute necessary component for us moving forward. We have to deal with the technological issues, but also with the policy issues, and try and find all of those different levers that we can use in order to get to that better, faster data. So it's great to see all the folks that have been brought together for this group. Many of you have been contributing to the inputs that we've been getting as we've been working on the implementation for the data modernization initiative, and really look forward to hearing the outcomes of this and how it feeds into this overall approach that we're taking to get us to a better place. So with that, let me hand it back to you, Avinash, and the group, and thanks for coming and being a part of this, and we really look forward to the outcomes from this.
Thank you.
Thank you, Dan. Do I turn it back to you, Mike?
Yeah, we're going to turn it over to our co-chairs, Ariane and Jillian, for their opening remarks as well.
I'll go ahead and get started then. Good morning, everyone. It's a real privilege to be with all of you on this task force. A little bit about me. I have a background in infectious disease epidemiology and surveillance, and a more recent foray in recent years into informatics. I recently joined CSTE just over a month ago, but prior to that, I spent over 20 years with the Massachusetts Department of Public Health overseeing infectious disease surveillance systems and data, including the Commonwealth's Integrated Surveillance and Case Management System, electronic laboratory and case reporting efforts, syndromic surveillance, and data visualizations. The charge before us is very complex. And while public health and healthcare have similar goals, namely the well-being of people seeking healthcare and those who live in communities in our jurisdictions, our perspectives do differ, as do our needs and uses of data. I think it's important to recognize a lot of progress has been made since the enactment of HITECH. Data are electronically flowing, but has been demonstrated during the pandemic and again with monkeypox, public health is still not receiving the data we need to stop disease spread. Public health response is federated. Historically, our funding has been siloed, which has resulted in some unique legal requirements and an uneven distribution of resources across program entities. The F criteria, or domains that we will be assessing over the next few weeks, have different requirements, different problems, and different data uses. And it will be important for us to document and explore these differences in order to make recommendations for measured improvements. I believe we can all agree that adherence to data standards for syntax and context are critical steps to achieving quality data that supports public health action and will also enable increased automation for both providers and public health. I think this in turn should lead us to improved relationships and better outcomes for both clinical and public health. Thank you, Ariane.
Thank you very much. I think this is a very exciting moment. And you know, the watchword that I have for this task force is the notion of without special effort. We're all used to interoperability pervading our lives. This call that we're all on is enabled through implementations of multiple standards a truly absurd number of standards that are implemented in technology, some of which is controlled by Zoom and some of which is just the internet, and it all works. And it all works without special effort on our part, except for my unique challenges this morning, to make the technology work. The process that we've had over the last 3 years, as Jillian notes, has proven that we can make public health data flows work. We have not yet proven that we can make them work without special effort. And so we have a unique opportunity right now to look at the certification criteria that were established for the EHR program and contemplate a revision to those certification criteria, and also contemplate what it would look like to establish certification criteria for the receive, mostly the receive side in public health. And our watchword really should be, what would it look like to ensure that information flows to serve public health, to serve the public need, without special effort. There's a set of concerns, I think sometimes on the EHR side or the EHR implementation or provider side, and sometimes on the public health side. And, you know, I think as we walk through this effort, we should walk in with a certain set of assumptions. You know, assumption number one is that these are voluntary certification criteria. Sometimes voluntary means attached to programmatics or attached to funding, and it feels involuntary. But we're not in making recommendations on certification criteria, forcing any particular organization to take any particular action. What we should be doing is thinking about reducing the total expense and spend of taxpayer dollars of health system dollars in order to enable effective public health data flows. Number two is that, you know, I think sometimes there's a concern on the stilt side that establishing certification criteria is going to establish a tax on public health or an obligation on public health to spend money. Let's walk in assuming that that we're going to wrap this around programmatics that make sense with funding mechanisms that make sense. Number three, sometimes local autonomy is historically very important for public health. And there's a concern that certification and standards will reduce the flexibility that public health authorities have to doing their job. And, you know, the watchword that I would recommend is the notion of raising the floor. And if you raise the floor the right way, that does not prevent you from raising the ceiling. And then, you know, finally, we've got an historic moment here. We have a limited amount of time, as I think we'll see when we walk through the timeline. Let's make sure that we don't make the perfect the enemy of the good, and make sure that we are putting together some truly foundational recommendations to the national coordinator to pass on to CDC and other agencies as part of HHS that advance the nation's agenda. And with that, let's turn it over to, I'll turn it back over to Jillian, to you, to lead us through the introductions and the charge.
Thank you, Arian. But why don't we have our task force members go in perhaps alphabetical order? I believe there was a slide. There we go. So Rochelle, beginning with you, if you could limit your introductions to just 20 seconds though, thank you.
Sure. My name is Rochelle Bolton. I'm with the Utah Department of Health and Human Services. I've been here for about 16 years. I started as an epidemiologist in pandemic preparedness and response, communicable diseases, outbreak and response, and I'm now working in informatics. I have experience with electronic data exchange, surveillance system management, and data quality.
Wasn't sure if Hans joined.
I'm on, if you can hear me, I'm on the
call. We can, call. Welcome.
Okay, great. Good morning, and thank you very much for having the opportunity to join. My name is Hans Buitendijk. I'm a director of interoperability strategy with Oracle Cerner. Have been in the HIT EHR space since the mid 80s, and have as of late focused on a variety of different interoperability topics on how to advance that, and represented Cerner in the industry in a variety of areas. Specifically in this context, I'm currently chair of EHRA, a group of EHR vendors, and within that co-lead the public health task force, where we are focusing on a variety of issues like the ones that we are talking about here. And other than that, very active in HL7, care quality, Commonwealth, a variety of HL7 accelerators, including the Helios accelerator, where co-lead one of the tracks. So with that perspective, I'm hoping to be able to support and help move this capability forward. So thank you.
Heather Cook Sinclair.
Hi, I'm Heather Cook Sinclair. I'm with Austin Public Health here in Texas. I am the Epidemiology and Disease Surveillance Manager. I've been with Austin Public Health for 16 years, ranging from starting at the Office of Vital Records to do as our issuance of birth and death certificates, all the way through as an epidemiologist for about 10 years, doing all chronic vaccine preventables, preparedness, et cetera. Then I spent the last 5 years doing surveillance, working with accepting our labs from all of our providers and all conditions with exception of TB. And I've just recently taken on the management job within the last, 6 months.
Okay. Erin Holtcoin.
Hi, I am Erin Holtcoin. I'm the Chief Public Health Informatics Officer with the Tennessee Department of Health. I serve as our Data Modernization Director or Director of our Core Informatics Unit within our Office of Informatics and Analytics. And I've been with the department for about 17 years. And I started actually similarly as an infectious disease epidemiologist and working in tuberculosis, HIV, hepatitis, outbreak response, and preparedness. I'm an active member of HL7, and I've been participating in the public health work group since 2011, and I have been serving as a co-chair of that work group since 2015. I'm also an active member of the Council of State and Territorial Epidemiologists, where I serve as a co-chair of our data modernization work group.
Thanks, Sarah. Charles Cross.
Hello, I'm Charles Cross. I'm the acting director for the Division of Information Technology for the Indian Health Service. We're the division that develops our EHR, which is called RPMS.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Steve Eichner.
Hi, I'm Steve Eichner. I'm the Health IT Lead for the Texas Department of State Health Services. I've been at DSHS for a little over 15 years, and I'm also serving as a high-tech member for the next couple of years, which I'm honored and privileged to serve on. I've been engaged with HL7 in a variety of work groups, and I'm really happy to be here. Thank you much.
Joe Gibson.
Hi, I'm Joe Gibson. I'm currently at the CDC Foundation, but just as a couple weeks ago, most of my career was at the Marin County Public Health Department, serving Indianapolis as Director of Epidemiology. And while there, I did a lot of work with Regan Sheep Institute and the Indiana Health Information Exchange on leveraging EHRs and HIEs for public health. A lot of work on national public health informatics projects, syndromic surveillance development, chaired NHO's informatics work group for a long time. And before I came to public health, I worked in pharma for about 8 years. Working on kind of quality of life and working with healthcare plans around their spend. So I've spent a lot of time with healthcare data.
Rajesh Gadavarthi. Rajesh, are you there?
I don't think he's here, Gajillion.
Okay, thank you. Jim Jurgis.
Yeah, hey, I'm Jim Jurgis, an internist, CHIO at HCA, responsible for a variety of informatics things, but one of them is our public health reporting and our interoperability programs here at HCA. And I'm eager to because, you know, during the pandemic, I think, Arian, you mentioned no special effort. I have a brief presentation outlining the incredible special effort it took us to be compliant with even the simple reporting. So this is such a key, important topic. I'm glad to be here. Thanks for inviting me.
John Kansky.
Good morning. John Kansky. I lead the Indiana Health Information Exchange, but I'm also the former CIO at the Marion County Health Department, which is the most populous county in Indiana. Organizations like IHI increasingly are working hard to support public health and enabling electronic public health transactions, including surveillance and reporting. So I'm very interested in the work of this committee. Thank you.
Thank you. As noted, Bryant will be joining us later. Stephen Lane. Stephen? Okay. Jennifer Layden. Jen?
Hey, everyone. Nice to see you all. Jen Layden. I serve as the Associate Deputy Director for Public Health Science and Surveillance at CDC. I'm an infectious disease physician and an epidemiologist. I joined CDC 2 years ago, and prior to that was the state epidemiologist and chief medical officer for Illinois Department of Public Health, as well as served as the deputy commissioner for Chicago Department of Public Health. Good to meet you all.
I believe we have Stephen Lane back.
I've been here. Can you hear me?
Now we can. Yes. Hi. Oh, welcome.
I have no idea why. Hi, I'm a practicing family physician and clinical informaticist at Sutter Health in Northern California, where I'm the director for privacy, security, and interoperability. At the national level, I have the opportunity to serve on the HITAC. I'm on the board of Sequoia, the chair of the Care Quality Steering Committee, and also work with HL7 and Direct Trust. I had the opportunity to serve on the prior Public Health Data Systems Task Force in 2021, where we actually recommended another task force to look at the issue of public health data system certification. So really excited to be here. Also with Arian, I've had the chance to co-chair the interoperability standards work group. So I do have an MPH and a long-term commitment to public health and public health interoperability. I've had a chance to work with CDC and APHL on the electronic case reporting project over the last couple of years, and really happy to be here and off mute.
Thank you. Les Leonard.
Hi, I'm Les Leonard. I'm Vice President for Data Science and Informatics at the Medical University of South Carolina. I am a physician and a researcher. I have about a 30-year career in informatics. I've done a lot of different things in that. I'm currently on the HITAC, and I was previously on our Public Health Informatics Advisory Committee. Probably my strongest link was when I was the Center Director at CDC for Public Health Informatics when that was in place.
Hung Lu?
I believe he wasn't able to make it today, Jillian.
Okay, thank you. Mark Marstica, sorry.
Marstica, that's okay, it's close enough. Yes, I'm a director of Conduit Public Health Solutions. I've had the privilege of, for the past 20 years, supporting public health departments in the US and international at the federal, state, county, and city level. Working with them on their journey of modernization and not only their disease reporting system, but syndromic surveillance systems, as well as connectivity to laboratories and EHRs. Absolutely thrilled to be part of this and look forward to working with everybody, see some familiar faces, and hopefully I can make a valuable contribution. Thank you for having me.
Thank you. Aaron Murray.
Good morning, Aaron Murray, Senior Vice President, Chief Digital Officer at Baptist Health in Jacksonville, Florida. Also co-chair of the HITAC. I also serve on the board of Commonwealth. Also been a part of a number of standards committees and so forth over the years. Been very much attached to the drive for interoperability around public health, even my prior role at UT Austin, partnering at Austin Public Health and others. as we drove a lot of the contact tracing across the city together with APH. So I got very familiar with the opportunities that present themselves to us and look forward to taking on those opportunities in this call to action and really coming out with some good results. So thanks for having me here.
Alex Muggy.
Hi, I'm Alex Muggy, the Director of the Health Informatics and Interoperability Group at CMS and also the Deputy Chief Health Informatics Officer. And we've worked with ONC over the years on implementing a number of different informatics and interoperability efforts and look forward to putting some of this work towards the public health data systems and seeing how we can help and in what ways CMS can support this effort. So thanks for including us.
Stephen Murphy.
Hi, good morning. I'm Stephen Murphy. I'm an attorney licensed in Illinois and California. I am a senior public health attorney with the Network for Public Health Law. We are an organization that's dedicated to advancing public health through the use of law. And I focus on data privacy and public health law generally. Before the network, I was with the Chicago Department of Public Health as an attorney, focusing on mostly data privacy and public health authority, and I was the HIPAA privacy officer for the city of Chicago. It's nice to meet you all.
Elio Oliveira.
I don't think Elio was able to make it today, Julia.
Okay. Jamie Pina.
Hi, good morning, everyone. I'm Jamie Pina. I'm the Vice President of Public Health Data Modernization and Informatics at the Association of State and Territorial Health Officials, or ASTO. In that role, I work to support the state health officials across the country to help them understand the different aspects of data modernization and informatics that affect their work. And I've been working in this space of public health informatics for about 20 years, where I've worked in lots of different projects and with lots of different organizations. I'm also an adjunct professor at the Rollins School of Public Health at Emory, where I teach informatics. And I'm thrilled to be on the panel. I know that our members have a lot of questions and insights about certification, and I'm excited to bring those to the panel. And I look forward to working with and meeting you all. Thanks, Jillian.
Thanks, Jamie. Abby Sears. Abby? Maybe she's having technical difficulties. Maybe we'll circle back. Vivian Singletary.
Sure. Good morning, and thank you for inviting me to be a part of this wonderful, esteemed panel. My name is Vivian Singletary, and I'm the Executive Director for the Public Health Informatics Institute. I have been with PHII for 11 years, and more broadly working in the field of informatics and information systems for about 30 years. So I look forward to bringing very practical ideas and solutions that link together people, processes, and technologies, and look forward to working with you all. Thank you.
Philippe Sutherland.
Hi, good morning, everyone. Phil Sutherland. I'm Director of Healthcare Solutions at Yardi Systems. We are an electronic health record servicing about 500,000 lives in the long-term post-acute care space. Prior to joining Yardi, I ran a health-related startup and a first-year HITACH member, honored to be a part of the group.
Thanks, Phil. And Cheryl Tooney.
Good morning, Cheryl Turney. I am the leader for interoperability for Elevance Health. For those that are not aware, that's the new name that Anthem has taken on. And I work for the Carelon Digital Platforms organization for Elevance Health. I also have participated in this work group in a prior year, and I am an active participant in DaVinci as well as FAST and newly working on the Gravity project. And I've been working with HITACH since its inception and am very interested in moving this topic forward. So thank you and looking forward to our work.
Thanks, Cheryl. Any member who has joined who did not get a chance to introduce themselves? Okay, well, thank you, everybody. It is quite an illustrious group, and I am really looking forward to everything that you'll be bringing to the conversations. I will just spend a few minutes going over what our charges are, if you will. As I mentioned, that they are, it's going to be quite a complex set of discussions coming forth. Next slide, please. As indicated on these slides, you know, we have been given quite a charge and to really build upon the recommendations of the previous high-tech meetings and task forces and to continue the collaborative work with CDC on improving our data systems. All of this will be in support of CDC's data modernization efforts. Specifically, we're going to be looking at the different public health certification criteria known as the F criteria that have been outlined in ONC's IT certification program, and this is working toward certify the transmission of data to public health agency. We will be looking at the different gaps in functionality and standards in those existing criteria, and specifically looking at gaps in functionality, implementation by developers. I think it's important to note that there will be different issues that will be brought up within each of these different domains. We'll be looking to provide recommendations for advancing criteria, testing guidance, and or standards to address these gaps. Secondly, we'll be looking at and assessing the specific functions such as receipt of data, ingestion of data, analysis of these data that are supported by public health data systems and those that would benefit from further standardization and potentially certification. Lastly, we're going to be recommending which data flows are aligned with existing criteria and those that should be prioritized for standardization of receipt of data. I'd like to also mention that one of the things that isn't outlined in this specific charge, but everything that we will be working for is to drive quality data for public health action. Any comments on these charges?
We'll have a chance to do a discussion session at the end. So.
We can pause on that. Yeah. So we do have a panel of experts in our current state, and I'll turn it over to Arian to introduce them.
All right. So we wanted to make sure that we heard from public health practitioners, providers, the provider community, as well as from ONC. So I would like to turn over to give a perspective on the public health side of the last 3 years. Of interoperability supporting public health to Aaron. Aaron, if you can lead us through. As a reminder, we're going to limit the presentations. These are meaty topics. We're going to limit the presentations to no more than 5 minutes. So I'll do a time check at some point. But let me turn it over to you to give us a state of the union in terms of public health interoperability from the public health perspective.
Sure. Thank you for the opportunity. So, you know, as Jillian mentioned, the whole goal with this, for all this activity, for this special effort, if you will, is to provide data for public health action. We need to get the right information in the right hands at the right time. Manual data entry is burdensome for everybody involved, both sides of the coin. And resources are limited, and we need more people practicing public health and doing less data entry. Regardless of our interfaces, success has been largely dependent upon completeness, accuracy, reliability, and timeliness of our data inputs. And regardless of interface, efficiency is impacted by the conformance of those data files received. We routinely hear about two main perspectives when it comes to challenges with public health electronic data exchange. One is there's too much variation across public health jurisdictions. And two, data received by public health is often incomplete and not standardized. So we're talking about variation across jurisdictions and problems with quality. When we talk about variability, there's really two flavors. Jurisdictional variability, certainly. What's reportable, where, how it's reported, deviations and variability in local technical specifications. And there's this constant balance between standardization and jurisdictional legal authority and reporting requirements that has to be met. We have to find that sweet spot. In addition to jurisdictional variability, there's also programmatic variability. Many of our public health agencies operate a wide variety of public health programs, many of which are supplemented or completely supported by categorical federal funding, oftentimes leading us to situations where we have program-specific requirements and program-specific solutions, which can lead to potentially redundancy and inefficiency in our leveraging of those resources. Two key things that I wanted to point out that I think has demonstrated public health's willingness to help address that variation, and those include specifically electronic case reporting. I think it was back in 2014 timeframe, the Council of State and Territorial Epidemiologists stood up an ECR task force to develop specific data requirements around case reporting. And it was our charge, and we made it a requirement that it had to support any reportable condition for any jurisdiction and leveraging the data expected to be supported in electronic health records. Much of ECR today is handled through the AIMS platform, which has onboarded over 14,600 reporting facilities as of 8/22 into production for jurisdictions across the country, which is amazing. We're able to leverage ECR beyond COVID and notifiable conditions for other reportable conditions, say like drug overdose or opioid overdose, to minimize the number of separate reporting mechanisms needed in standardized reporting. The second area I'd like to highlight is specifically in regards to the American Immunization Registry Association and their IIS Measurement and Improvement Program. It started in 2015 with coordination of CDC, completely voluntary, and they have participation for almost all jurisdictions, I think maybe with the exception of one. And it's really focusing on alignment with standards and providing guidance and support for the improvement. And they've actually have improvements in standardization across the IIS are broadly recognized within that community. So what are some specific challenges that we have? Jurisdictional public health spends a lot of time and resources and making special effort, if you will, to facilitate onboarding of our many partners and readying received data for use. Much of that time is spent validating file syntax and semantics, mapping vocabulary, validating and troubleshooting content with partners, translating files, serial debugging, pre and post production implementation, deduplicating and updating patients and events. Onboarding and maintenance of these interfaces also prove challenging due to constant staff turnover for both partners, facilities being bought and sold, coordinating release schedules and accommodating the evolving needs and evolving standards. With that in mind, two additional challenges that we face are really centered around conformance or lack of conformance and issues with data quality and data completeness. When we talk about conformance, I'll speak for myself and say, you know, we learned a lesson from EHR certification, and that is you can't always rely on the fact that an EHR is certified as an indication of whether or not they're going to meet that the interface is going to meet the expected conformance in implementation. You can't necessarily just make that assumption. There's a lot of optionality and ambiguity in the standards, which can lead to wide interpretation of those standards for implementation. And largely a lot of our conformance has focused largely on syntax, but not as much on content and quality. And we really need to get to content and quality in order to be able to use this data for action. And this really results in processing burden leading to delay and frankly, further variation. The other challenge that we have to be mindful of is in regards to data quality and completeness. Missing patient address is one that plagues public health, small and large across our entire spectrum, across all of our programs. When we receive information coming in as reports, one of the very first things that we do once we're able to actually use the data is assign public health jurisdiction. And that's to allow our public health staff to utilize their distributed resources across our state, across our jurisdiction to carry out those investigation activities in transmission mitigation and interventions. It's absolutely critical, and it causes delay when that information is missing. Additionally, race and ethnicity has also been a challenge, and I'd invite you to reference the CSTE report titled Addressing Gaps in Public Health Reporting of Race and Ethnicity for COVID that was published in April 22 for more detail. But we have problems with completeness, variation in coding and value sets that are used, also variation in how how folks support the handling of multiple races. And we see a lot of other and unknown values that really are just not usable, especially when you know that that information is known or available.
Aaron, quick time check.
Sure. How much do I have left?
You're a minute and a half over.
Okay. Well, I'll just finish by saying some considerations that I think that are important are, we need to allow for evolution. We need to build systems that are scalable and extensible. Fires the new CDA, standards continue to evolve. We need to not necessarily be putting our eggs in a silver bullet bucket. And we need to have some accountability for meeting interoperability standards for on both sides of the coin. And we need to leverage lessons from existing certification programs, what worked and what didn't.
Thank you so much. Jim, over to you.
Yeah, thank you. If you could hit the next slide, if you would. Yeah, so I represent HCA. We have about 190 hospitals in 22 states. So when we find ourselves in the midst of the pandemic, we're sort of a little bit of a microcosm because of the number of states we're in. It kind of gives us a interesting eagle perch eye on the variation. And so what I wanted to walk you through a little bit is we talk about special effort. I think, Arian, you mentioned we proved we can do stuff, but we haven't proved we could do without special effort. So most of our efforts were special effort, and I just want to cover and give people a flavor, a barometer of that. So just so you know, we have about 2,000 sites of care across the U.S. from Alaska to New Hampshire to Miami to San Diego and most places in between, 22 states. And we had a diverse experience. You know, as you can imagine, this won't be new to many of you, but federal, so not only did we have to deal with federal reporting, but each state's public health department had different requirements, interfaces. Some didn't even have an interface, right? But even beyond that, for example, in California, we had Santa Clara County that had a lot of public health data needs that were divergent or different than others. And so for a provider in the middle, when you talk about special effort, every single one of these is an interface with different requirements, different implementations, different readiness, a need to test and troubleshoot. It becomes a very untenable many-to-many situation. There was differences in the frequency of reporting and the format type as well. Next slide. Here's an example. This is sort of a depiction of if we're the provider in this game and the public health departments are off to the right, the left is all the data sources, right? Now, mind you, before you look at this, that we're just here focusing on COVID-19 test results as a single data element, right? Aaron, to your point about things are not standardized or complete, right? And so one of the things we found is when we were actually pursuing this, none of the laboratory, each of the sites that the laboratory companies that would do testing, and we now have tallied about 225 different lab testing companies that we receive results from, zero of them actually report with mapping to national standards like LOINC. We have to do that mapping ourselves. The hospitals were rapidly changing methodologies. Here's an interesting one about completeness. If we get a patient admitted to the hospital, sometimes we do the testing and it's in our EMR, and then of course we can send it. But sometimes they were tested somewhere else, they get sick, they're admitted to us, and we have to figure out how to get that result from the place it was tested, get it into our system so that we can then have it be part of the reports. That was a huge undertaking. We had to identify what we call the COVID czar, data czar. And every single patient, we had to track this so that you had complete data, Aaron, right? And you can see here the variety. All of that, these are different color and different size arrows because there is a whole team focused on getting, even identifying a new lab mnemonic from one of our hospitals that it represented a COVID test and what did it mean? We had to map all that to value sets so that we could do the reporting. So that's step one. Step two of special effort is if you've seen one public health interface or department, you've seen two, or you've seen a half, right? You've seen one. So what we found is five states didn't even have an interface yet because meaningful use hadn't really required it of either of us, right? And but all the other states, you know, because the burden was on us to report, if a state didn't have an interface, then we felt obligated to fax them, which they didn't want, just so we could be compliant, right? And so what we found is these gray arrows were also whole teams that were having to babysit the different interpretations, different data needs, and test the interfaces and troubleshoot them. Enormous amount of effort. And you can see off to the right here, a high variety with all these point-to-point interfaces of the readiness of the recipient. There's contract sites we didn't have a contract. There's months of contracting that have to be done, different data definitions, interfaces, et cetera. You get the trick here. Next slide. So one of the main points is it's not, if you just focus on the EHR, and I know none of us probably are, but you don't take into account the data at its source, then the intermediary has an enormous amount of special effort just to make sure we're complete, that we collate, we map, and that then we transmit. And even the transmissions right now are many-to-many point-to-point interfaces, just a totally unideal system. So here are some of the challenges. I know we're running short on time, but redundancy, the opportunity there is coordination between state, federal, and local jurisdictions, enabling fewer point-to-point connections. We hope that we don't have a whole bunch of hospitals who have different capabilities having to interact with different public health departments that have all different capabilities and approaches. We'd like to see a situation where there was a many to one and a one to many. Like, is there a trusted intermediary that's technically sophisticated that everyone could, so that all the providers could actually interface with one entity, and then that entity is expert on interacting with all the public health departments, whether that's a QHIN or report stream or whatever. There's a lot of process variation. It's not enough to say semantic and syntactic, but how people interpret and process very different. Consistency in data collected would be an opportunity in its format, embracing emerging technologies as well as the transport methods. Resource constraints, I think we are all aware of that. And then manual data collection. So one of the points, if you go to the last slide, here are some, you know, what we consider some considerations for ideal use case, for example. Develop and ensure use agreed upon standards for both technology process and the data set data model. Has to be a lot more prescriptive, I think, more aligned and standard. Really addressing this problem of this many, many, all the arrows on that slide, each one of those is special effort, right? Finding a better architecture that actually allows providers to interact with a single expert entity instead of interacting with 22 different variable entities. Same data, many purposes. One of the notions here was if providers could just know what the full sum of data reporting was, report that, and then the intermediary could then be responsible for distributing that appropriately with permissible reason use instead of that's a model I know report stream is looking at. And then the main message here too is if the incentives and the certification is only on one player, like the provider, then it creates perverse incentives where in fact the provider's on the hook with all this special effort. If you don't include those who are generating the data, lab companies mapping everything to LOINC, for example, so that we all don't have to do the special effort. So lab companies are one, but if you look at like the White House Task Force reporting, when we were looking at supplies, even HR systems, none of those externalize the kind of information that we need. So our recommendation, if we're going to be successful, we have to look at all the different data sources and determine how to actually early in the process map the data and standardize the interfaces, et cetera, in a new model that gets away from the many to many. That if you don't do that, no matter how you slice the pie, there's going to be a lot of special effort on the data's journey from its origination to Aaron and the public health departments. So just some insights from those who kind of are still living in the trenches. And just so you know, because curation has to happen, I still have a team member that has to do about an hour of work on Monday through Friday, but also Saturday and Sunday has to spend about an hour and a half to do some of that special effort to get these reports out. And with that, I close.
Thank you, Jim. Appreciate it. Jeff, over to you on the ONC perspective on the current state of the F criteria. And again, we're running a little bit behind, so hopefully you can catch us up. Thank you.
Okay. Yeah, sure thing. So I'm just going to spotlight a couple of things. I know you've got these slides, and obviously we are going to be here for the duration of this program and the task force, so we're happy to come back and provide additional information. But I think a couple of things that I'll harp on here. Our program does have 400 products, and it's used by numerous federal programs. And I think that's important to note. We're not just for CMS promoting interoperability, but there are multiple federal programs that we support. Next slide, please. Here, I think it's important to note that we do provide roughly 60 certification criteria, spanning, of course, a suite of public health F criteria, which again, we'll go into later. But I think it's also important to note that ONC adopts health IT standards on behalf of HHS. And currently we have about 50 or so standards spanning transport, vocabulary, and content exchange. And then last, the third component of the certification program has to do with conditions and maintenance of certification requirements, which really do kind of speak to the business and behavioral aspects of the equation of interoperability. So next slide, please. Okay, so it's important to note that our certification program is inextricably linked to the regulatory process and regulations. And this obviously has some pros and some cons. I think we all acknowledge that it takes a long time to work through the regulatory cycle, but once we have those requirements in place, they're binding. And I can tell you in talking with other certification programs, that's actually a really important piece of the puzzle. On the left side, you can see the regulatory process, which I won't belabor, but on the right side, you can see how the regulations get put into place. We run what is called a third-party conformity assessment scheme, and we have a lot of actors and processes that are underpinned by various ISO and IEC framework standards. And really all this is to say is that we don't just make this up. We follow widely adopted and broadly applied standards for product certification. Next slide, please. Okay, so here is the journey for interoperability if you're a health IT developer. I won't read this word by word, but what I will say is that it's important to note that we've got authorized testing labs and authorized certification bodies. And these are kind of the primary entities we work through in order to certify products. It's also important to note that we have non-governmental alternatives that help developers demonstrate conformance to the certification requirements. We recently announced that Drummond and Aegis are an alternative testing method for the API criterion, G10. We have longstanding alternative test methods for e-prescribing and also for immunization reporting through the ERA HIMSS immunization integration program. So I think what I'd like to make sure you understand here is that we've got the scaffolding, the infrastructure to do things both inside as well as acknowledge activity that's outside of the federal government. And then I would also kind of say here at the end, the last stop on the train here under providers and hospitals, Erin, you did an excellent job in pointing out programmatic requirements are an essential component of getting the certified technology used. We are a voluntary certification program, and so there has to be some kind of programmatic hook or funding mechanism that would compel the use of certified technology. And I think that's a really important piece to understand. Okay, next slide, please. Okay, so here are the F criteria in their full glory. I will point out a very small, a minor mistake here at the bottom. We say all criteria point to specific standards and implementation guides. That is untrue for the F5 transmission to public health agencies for electronic case reporting. There are currently no standards there. However, we do reference ECR now as an implementation specification that we would acknowledge. If a developer used that, we would acknowledge that it's working for certification. I would also note that SVAP, these criteria are eligible for SVAP. And I think if you would like to have us come back and talk a little bit more about SVAP, we can spend more time on what that is. But it allows the industry to move forward on standards that have been previously adopted by the secretary. And I think this is going to be an important component for the organization for certification moving forward. Next slide. Okay, the last thing here is it's, or next to last thing, it's important to acknowledge that we've got test tools for these things. The test tools really do kind of mirror what the implementation guide requires. And so if the certified technology doesn't do what you would like it to do, and it doesn't test what you would like it to test, you have to look back at the implementation specifications and the standards upon which these rely. And I really can't stress that enough. These are really the bedrock. The implementation specifications are the bedrock, and then the test tools are built to test the implementation specifications. So again, there's currently no requirement, no test tool for F5, and certified EHR technology can be certified to F5 through what we call attestation. Next slide. All right, I think this is the last slide. So trying to get everybody back on track here. A couple of high points, what the F criteria do. They do represent means by which certified technology is expected to report, generate a report and transmit a report. And so I think it's important to kind of think about it in terms of those two big buckets. The F criteria do require health IT modules to adhere to specific standards and implementation guides. We name these in reg. We can update them through reg, and we can use our SVAP process to provide a stutter step when there are new standards out there, but that's a voluntary process. And then last but not least, they provide assurances that health IT modules, aka the product, performs as intended. And I think these are all important to think about in comparison to what they don't do, which is cover all the functionalities that may be of interest. And I know that the IIP has a certification that tests a whole bunch of other functionalities beyond what ONC requires. We do not, through certification, certify data quality, nor do we certify the entity or the organization using the technology. So these are all kind of important things to keep in mind. And with that, I think we're almost back on schedule.
Really appreciate it. Appreciate keeping us back on track. Jillian, I think you've got a proposal.
Yeah, I was going to like provide a bit of an overview of public health informatics, but I think that given, you know, my earlier comment about the fact that each of these different criteria have such unique, data needs and uses that I think it would be, and data sources, I think it would be appropriate to actually table that and explore, you know, the state of informatics within each of those specific domains as each meeting goes forward. So I'd like to propose actually that we table that and move on into some discussion points about what we've just heard and where we're headed.
Perfect. So I'm going to facilitate just a Q&A discussion table. Would like to ask folks to use the hand raising feature, which you will find at the bottom of your toolbar for the Zoom meeting. If you are unable to use Daniel, would you want to give us a quick overview of current state from the CDC perspective? Apologize, I was working off of a slightly older version of the slide for the agenda. So, Daniel, just appreciate if you could go through a rapid run.
Yeah, no, absolutely. So I would like to skip ahead three slides, just in the interest of time, and I'll try to go through this rather quickly. Next slide, please. All right, so through the data modernization initiative assessment funded through the ELC CCELS COAG, we are trying to support data modernization throughout the 64 funded ELC jurisdictions. We primarily support them in three different ways as laid out on this slide. We can go to the next slide, please. All right, so the data being presented today is from the assessment responses from 64 recipients as of May 2nd, 2022. Assessments were completed by jurisdictions on a rolling basis between November 2001 and May 2002. We're primarily going to be focusing on the current state of activities and systems, including data exchange processes and systems. Can we skip ahead to the next slide? Next slide, please. All right, next slide. Next slide. All right, so we're going to start with the current state here. So as you can see, the original question was, has your jurisdiction conducted any of the following activities? This section includes questions about the activities that assess health information, systems, and outcomes through the assessments. I think that in the interest of time, actually, could we skip down to the next steps? And I can actually just provide a verbal update of all of these slides. In general, the assessment was funded in order to help provide support to the jurisdictions to help them identify what they need. And then in general, the next steps from this assessment is going to be, we're going to analyze the qualitative responses and look at both quantitative and qualitative data by meaningful groupings, such as by geographic regions, size and type of jurisdiction. We're going to then evaluate the assessment instrument and process to see how well it served the needs of the jurisdictions. And then we're also going to assess how CDC can use this information and other information from the jurisdictions to learn how we can better support their data modernization activities. There are some really great meaningful charts and graphs that I will make available to the attendees of this meeting, post the meeting, but in interest of time, I think we should move on. Thank you so much and apologies.
And Paula, do you want to give a rapid tour through your content?
Yeah, happy to do that. I was asked to speak about some of the efforts that we have from the data modernization initiative side at CDC to help address some of the comments that were raised. I think the most important point that I want to get across here is that we do have opportunities in hand to help raise the bar. So that way the kinds of innovations that we saw during COVID can be deployed more broadly without special effort. And so some of the things that we're doing are obviously working side by side with CDC, ONC, and CMS to make sure that the signals that we're sending to healthcare are strategic and aligned. There's been a lot of healthy discussion here today about that and ways that the standards of version advancement process could be of benefit to everybody involved. Similarly, we're working to put forward common data elements through the US Core data for interoperability and the recently announced USCDI Plus. So that way we can have a better sense of the totality of the information that is valuable to public health. And that is something that will continue to evolve over time. And we're working side by side with partners from across healthcare and the private sector through things like the Helios Fire Accelerator for Public Health. So we can have a better understanding of not only what exists today, but what has momentum and buy-in beyond public health so we can benefit from that. Thirdly, we're looking at the networks that exist and that are emerging through the Trust Exchange Framework and Common Agreement and the QHINs that are being stood up under that structure. And so through the formulation of public health use cases, hopefully we can begin to arrive at some workable solutions that shift the burden from each individual public health jurisdiction toward things that can be taken on more broadly by the market. And last but not least, we are committed to making sure that the platforms and the services that we offer to our state health departments and other members of the STLT community are abiding by open architectures and open APIs so that way we can deliver the functionality that they need and the flexibility that they need in a way that overall helps to save time, money, and effort. And while most of the discussion here today rightfully is focused on the exchange of data between public health and healthcare, I think we also have a real opportunity here to think about how these standards can show the public the value of what happens when their data gets sent to public health. And so thinking about it more broadly with that lens, I think will help us move forward and help us make some tough calls about where we are today and what will help us get us to that future state. Thank you.
Thank you so much. And now is a good time to transition to facilitated discussion. I think we heard through these presentations a really good reflection of life on the ground, which, as I noted upfront, we have been able through substantial effort to address the mission of public health in a crisis. We have consistent issues where we have fallen down in terms of supporting data for contact tracing, supporting demographic, race, ethnicity, and other data that facilitates looking at the equity of our public health response, or getting a better view on disproportionate impact of disease burden and infection burden on populations. We have significant gaps in terms of programmatic variability, in terms of variance between deployed standard and implemented standard, between deployed data or tested data and implemented data. Where intermediaries exist, in particular the AIMS platform and APHL, they have greatly facilitated the information exchange and overall burden for participation. And then we have emerging bright spots, things like ECR, where we're left out of certification. I think really the important point that where there are gaps in certification, we need to go back to the implementation guidance and make sure the implementation guidance really addresses the semantic needs of public health. As I noted, I think sometimes we've used certification in a lab environment, but have not addressed real world certification. And there's an urgent approach or need to ensure that we take an ecosystem approach, and that we get data quality addressed at source. So those are some of the high level comments. Jillian, other comments that I missed sort of in my broad summary of the testimony to date?
No, I think that was perfect. The only thing I would add is that, you know, public health is receiving data from all of these different sources, and it's important for us to, in addition, you know, to, you know, having complete information, you know, it's important to note that the information comes to us at different points in time, and we're trying to synthesize this information and make sense of it in real time to be able to like provision data to CDC. I'm sensing some consensus actually already from the group about the need to have further standardization, the need to perhaps even tighten up some of the existing standards and repurpose some of the criteria, as well as to a drive towards data quality. So I see hands are going up, Arian, so I'll turn it over to you for facilitation.
All right. Again, just a reminder to use the hand raising feature if you're able to, and if you're not able to, we'll go through the hands raised first, and then do a call for folks who are not able to raise their hands. So, Les, you are first in the queue.
That's interesting. I didn't think I was that fast on the draw. I wonder whether longitudinal data needs to be in scope, both within an individual and within a provider, both an individual and a provider over time, and also across providers. And the reason I mention this is one of the things that ECR seems to be about from the architecture is delivering the best data possible at the point of time that the criteria for reporting are met, but the cases evolve over time. And our understanding of COVID really was limited by a lack of data on the longitudinal impacts, which seemed to extend possibly over the lifetime of people, certain people. And that gets to those issues of, does there need to be more than one reporting event? And does there need to be the ability to link events across providers?
Yeah, and as a comment to that, you know, I think there's overlapping needs for public health in terms of public health response, and then in terms of real world evidence and research needs to address, for example, things like the MMWR and ongoing case reports. I'm going to let Jillian comment on this, because I think one of our touchstones for this task force is that we should primarily serve the needs of the STILTs, who are all, you know, boots on the ground addressing public health future, you know, public health crises and ongoing public health needs. I think our watchword here should be making sure that we are primarily serving the needs of boots on the ground, and then secondarily serving broader needs. But Jillian, I don't know if you have a comment there.
I do. I think Les makes an excellent point. And to my earlier statement about public health gathering information over time, as new information becomes available and as circumstances on the ground change, it's really critical that we have complete core demographic information up front so that we can deduplicate those reports as they come in and make sure that information is compiled within a single individual and within a single particular event. Public health spends an enormous amount of time trying to make sure that this person is actually indeed this person. And if we don't get, you know, full name, address, and date of birth and sex and race and ethnicity up front, it makes our jobs very difficult. I will just pause there and just saying, you know, complete information upfront is absolutely critical as information comes in over time.
Fantastic. So again, in anything in healthcare, patient matching and patient linking are critical activities, and accurate demographic information is foundational for any of that. Jim.
Yeah, I just had one question. I completely agree that we need to make sure all the standards are defined and there, et cetera. But one question I have is, it may not be the scope of ONC, but or at least of this task force, but one of the observations we had is the standard may be defined, but the incentive to use it may not be there. And I'm talking, let's go back to the lab testing company, for example, right? So if you define that that lab results need to be mapped to LOINC, let's say, but 225 labs don't do it, that's part of the challenge. So is there going to be any recommendation around incentives for all the key players to adhere to a defined standard once we?
Yeah. So let me I've asked that same question. Let me answer in a nuanced way. It is not our charge and mission to define incentives or the programmatics that would go along with certification. It is primarily our charge in the task force to consider the sender and receiver, but you'll note that there is sub bullet 3 where we address data flows and the need for contemplating the data flows that are associated with public health. And so I think in areas where there are important intermediaries or there are important originators for the data that are used in the data flow, we really should be contemplating recommendations for addressing data quality at source. So hopefully not overly nuanced, but just want to make sure that we're not in the business of making recommendations on programmatics or certification criteria. But I do think we are in the business of contemplating certification and implementation guidance associated with end-to-end data flows associated with public health.
And so if I hear what you're saying, we are, it's not our job to define the incentives and recommend them. It's to indicate that it'll, to be successful, they would need to participate. And then it's not our job to identify what those incentives are.
But
if it's not addressed, then we've not really accomplished the no special effort.
That's right. And I think it also would be part of the charge to address certification criteria that are associated with the data flow. So for example, if there are certification criteria associated with lab or with resulting authorities or agencies, that would be, and those data flows are critical for public health, we could contemplate making recommendations in that area. Ike.
Hadn't unmuted myself. I've got 3 points. Number one, looking at the diversity of public health authorities or public health agencies across the country, many public health agencies have different spheres of practice or different scopes of practice. So there's not a universal model that fits all particular use cases. So we need to be cognizant of that as we're looking at information flow. Secondly, we need to recognize, and we didn't hear it mentioned this morning very much, is looking at patient privacy. And the more times patient data gets replicated unnecessarily, the greater the risk of that data being exposed and misused goes up. Thirdly, in the same general vein, looking at routing of data to public health and ensuring that that routing makes sense for all parties is very useful. To Clem's point about looking at complete and updated data, if we're looking at entities in the middle, such as a laboratory passing on demographic information, the laboratory's interest is in the data to process the sample and bill for the sample and return test results to the appropriate authority, not necessarily in maintaining the extra information. So from an incentive or value or routing perspective or certification perspective, that's something I think that also needs to be addressed. Thank you.
Thank you very much. And again, just in, with your second point, again, a plea for thinking about this as a floor ceiling problem that I think we acknowledge that stilts have broad authority that's jurisdictional in nature. But if we can put our hats on and think about the floor, the common floor that addresses multiple needs, will better serve the nation in terms of public health readiness. All right, Mark.
Aaron, I just want to interject. Yep. Be careful about designing the floor, because in some cases you may set a floor that's higher than capacity. So we need to be cognizant of that as well.
Absolutely. Thank you. Mark.
Yeah, and I think my question is along those lines, and you may have already addressed it in that conversation, but as I was thinking about how to go about this in the transmission capability between the senders and the receivers, the question I had is, should we think about this in developing standards for which can be met today with the, you know, lowest common denominator system that the sender and the receiver have, or should we develop standards that we believe are most viable and expect the sender and receiver to improve their system to meet those standards should that be necessary? And what I think I just heard you say in that conversation is it's sort of a hybrid. We think about the current status and we try to build standards that a majority of these senders and receivers can satisfy, but still is modernized so as to, build for capacity in the future. And those who cannot meet those standards, we hope that they would improve their system and modernize it to do so. Is that an accurate scope for this task force and thinking about how to set standards?
I think if you look back at our charge is to improve standards and associated certification criteria, both for the EHR, the sort of the SEN side of this, as well as contemplate important data flows for public health for the receive side. We clearly would not want to do that in a way that we'd leave that's impossible to achieve in practice. I think we also, and this is a personal opinion, I think we also would not want to do this in a way that assumes that there's no funding for the system improvement that's associated with improving standards and certification, with conforming to standards and certification criteria. So yeah, I think our watchword should be to raise the floor such that the floor can be accomplished with as little special effort as possible to better serve the nationwide public health need for the past crises, as well as for future and emerging threats. Jillian, interested in your perspective there as well.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I think that there are a lot of things are working well, and I think that we need to recognize that a lot of progress has been made, and it may be that it's time for us to tighten up some of the certification criteria in order to be able to enhance adoption of standards as well as improve the data quality.
Good point. Yeah, and the funding is an important element, but I'm assuming, like incentivization, that's not part of our scope. It's just developing a standard.
That's right. I think we should be proceeding as if there will be sensible programmatics. I think it might be appropriate for us to comment where necessary that programmatics need to be carefully aligned or things of that nature. But, you know, we should assume that there are sensible programmatics and that there's appropriate funding to fund system upgrades. associated with meeting certification criteria, but we should not, you know, it's not our charge to contemplate what those programmatic should be, what the funding mechanism should be, et cetera. Are there other folks who would like to put their hand in the queue, or are there folks who are not able to use the hand raising feature of Zoom and who want to enter their comments in right now? All right, John, go ahead. Are you able to, are you double muted, John?
No, I got it.
Very good.
Arian, I think this is within the constraints of the scope of the committee or the task force, sorry, that you outlined. I hope isn't too ambitious. I hope we can have a discussion, maybe a recommendation regarding with and without a data intermediary in the context of these the whole set of transactions we're trying to enable with standards. So say standards, say certified technology, but the data flows, at least maybe we can have some comments. What I'm trying to avoid is, well, I think the ideal vision of much of the group on the task force is that with perfect implementation of these standards, intermediaries aren't necessary. I would hate to be putting states or jurisdictions in a position of not being able to use an intermediary to implement these standards. Does that make sense?
That makes absolute sense. Again, those parallel some comments that I've had about our charge. And I think the pathway to those recommendations is, as I noted, found in sub-bullet C of our charge that really contemplates the data flows associated with public health. And I think we can point to, you know, existing steps along the information flows or data flows. I think we've already noted lab data where, you know, the true public health data flow starts at the order, includes the ordering provider and their electronic health information systems, but also includes the lab and the need to encode data at source, may include things like the AIMS platform, as well as Stilt information technology systems and CDC. And, you know, I think sub-bullet C gives us the latitude to contemplate those data flows and areas where certification may be appropriate for those data flows.
I just want to add about your comment about intermediaries. I think the AIMS platform has served as an example for both aggregation and sending and routing of lab data, as well as our electronic case reporting efforts as well. And I think that, you know, while not perfect, it is definitely there has been a lot of successes that have been made through AIMS.
There we go. I am seeing the bat signal for the public comment period. So as a reminder, this is a task force of the HITECH, which is a federal advisory committee, and we run the task force according to the dictates of the Federal Advisory Committee Act, public comment and public input are a vital part of our mission. So at this point, we're gonna hand back over to run through the public comment.
All right, thank you, Arian and Jillian. We're gonna open up our meeting to the public for any comments. If you are on Zoom and would like to make a comment, please use the hand raise function, which is located on the Zoom toolbar at the bottom of your screen. If you happen to be on the phone only, press star 9 to raise your hand, and once called upon, press star 6 to mute and unmute your line. So let's pause for a moment to see if anyone raises their hand. And I'll just note while we're waiting that our next task force meeting is next Wednesday, same time, 10:30 a.m. Eastern time. I am not seeing any hands raised this time, so I'll turn it back to Arian and Jillian. Thank you.
All right, so this is a good time if folks who were not connected to the WebEx, or sorry, to the Zoom, would like to get their voice in the queue. Good time to do that. Also, you know, we're gonna rigorously assign homework. I think we'll send that an email that may have additional homework assignments, but I would encourage the task force members to review all of the content that was shared, because there's a lot more than we were able to go through verbally. We had far more content than we could fit in the time allotted. And then would also encourage task force members to carefully review the charge. And we're going to run through the task force following more or less the subpart F certification criteria. So we're going to go system by system and look at associated certification criteria. I think we're still working out exactly the order that we're working in. Annie asked a question, which is a fantastic one. In our charge, the question is, subpart F is really about the send side and not about the receive side. In our charge, we've been asked to contemplate the full data flows, so the receive as well as send. So as we're going in that order, we're going to be taking a public health first perspective, not a transmission first perspective. So that's at least a subset of the homework assignment, and we may have more to send you after we work through the agenda for next week. And please recognize that we will continue to offer ample opportunity for homework. And so make sure that you calendar time to do your task force homework for now until November, when we complete our report. Jillian?
Thanks, Arian. I think that this was a really terrific meeting in terms of level setting what we're headed. I think that at the beginning of subsequent meetings, we'll probably do another level set again in terms of, what is the specific challenge that we have within each of these criteria, and what is it that we are trying to solve for? Because as I've stated previously, while there are commonalities, there are very significant differences within each of the public health criteria laid forth. So what I think will be important for us to be operating from a common set of understanding. It was a terrific conversation today, and I'm really glad that we have so much expertise in this task force. So thank you.
Thanks to everybody. And here's a little reminder of our upcoming meeting schedule, but just recognize this time goes very quickly, and we'll be in October and working through our final report material before we know it. So it'll be fast and furious. So hold on to your horses. Thanks, everybody.